And so the Lord will speak to you through the Psalm of the week, Psalm 30, and we're going to look at verse 5. We'll look at a little bit of the context, but we're going to read verse 5, and we're going to focus on the middle part of verse 5, something that I think is a real blessed thought to have in our minds, especially as it's in the middle of the outward parts of the verse, again, that I think are more familiar, and I tend to neglect the middle. May the Lord bless us as we give our attention to it today. So we'll read all of verse 5 of Psalm 30, but we will consider particularly the middle part. Hear now the word of the Lord. For his anger endureth but a moment. In his favor is life. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. Let me read that one more time. For his anger endureth but a moment, in his favor is life. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. And the part we're focusing on today, let me read one more time. In his favor is life. This is what the Lord will speak to us today, particularly with, in his favor is life. Of course, the opposite is true. Outside of his favor is no life. But we'll be thinking with David as someone who knows the Lord, what a blessing it is to know his favor, because in it is very life itself. Thinking of this phrase, in his favor is life, we might want to think about another time that idea of favor is used, among other places, Luke chapter 1, verses 28 and 30. Can you think of who was spoken to be having favor with the Lord, favor with God? It's Mary. And why is Mary told by the angel of the Lord that she is highly favored and then that she has favor with God? Because she would conceive Jesus Christ and she would birth from her own womb the Lord Jesus Christ. Why is she favored? Not because of herself, she responds that way, but because God has chosen her. This is why she's favored. She has favor from God. God has given her special favor and chosen to smile on her through her womb, to bring into the world the creator of life and the one who is the way, the truth, and the life, the one who gives eternal life, who is the bread of life, Jesus Christ. The one who would grant God's good will or favor toward men. Favor is God's good will in accepting someone with his pleasure and delight. And this is what David is extolling and rejoicing in today, that he's expressing the reality of it in the context of the verse and and of the psalm. Ah, in his favor is life. I have life because I have his favor. Thank God I have his goodwill. Thank God that he accepts me. Thank God that he has pleasure with me and that he delights in me. I don't deserve it, but I have it. He's chosen to give it to me, and so I have life. Thank God for his favor. But you know, we have a saying that we can fall out of favor with someone, right? I've fallen out of favor with someone. You express the experience of the loss of someone's goodwill, the loss of someone's smile, the loss of someone's affection. They take it away from you. And the effect is it causes you to feel like life is being sucked away from you, or even that life is being sucked out of you. That's the experience of losing favor with someone. But David says, a Christian's source of life and living is in God's continual favor toward him. God never removes his favor. There are aspects of discipline, aspects of displeasure, but ultimately, God never removes his favor. Because, of course, if he did, what would happen? We would be dead. Because in his favor is life. So David is thankful that God chooses grace and mercy for his people, and it never goes away. His mercy endureth forever because of the grace of the everlasting covenant. So we can say, in his favor is life. He never takes his smile away from us. He may hide it in a sense for a time to teach us things, but he never removes his favor from us. The favor of God towards his people lasts through all of life. In this verse, the word favor is contrasted with something else in the verse, something we're more familiar with. What? The temporary moment of God's anger, or rather, his anger is contrasted with favor here. What is the distinction? What is the contrast? Well, God's anger only lasts a temporary moment at night, right? Come morning, it's gone. It's very short. And as we know, he's very long-suffering before the point he ever gets there with us. And what else? Our weeping because of God's anger is very short. Maybe at night, but in the morning, it's gone. And it's replaced with joy. Joy cometh in the morning. God's favor, instead, isn't so temporary, isn't such a small, brief moment. Instead of God's anger, which is just a brief moment, God's favor, that is his goodness to you, Christian, his goodwill to you, his acceptance of you, lasts a long time. Let that soak in, beloved. God's favor towards you lasts a long time, which you especially want to remember in the night hours when you are sensing his momentary anger and your response in weeping because of things you need to deal with. Yet, you remember in the context, how is it that joy comes in the morning? Because his favor lasts. It endures. God's favor to you, his goodness, his acceptance, it lasts. It is endless. It remains secure through temporary difficulties. And even it remains secure and is really behind God's discipline of his children. Think of Hebrews chapter 12, quoting Proverbs 3. Yes, it hurts when God disciplines you, but that means you have a father. Recognize that the discipline of a good father hurts, but it's for your good. So his favor is on us, including when he disciplines us. Because children who are left to not be disciplined do not have the favor of the Father. It means the Father has abandoned them and treated them, as Hebrews says, as if they are bastards. But Hebrews 12 says we are not bastards. We have our Father who takes care of us. And the next chapter of Hebrews never leaves us, never forsakes us, and disciplines us. And that's a sign of his favor upon us. So when we sense his anger, it's a disciplinary anger. And when we're weeping, may it be because we're concerned that we're grieving the Holy Spirit and that we're displeasing our Father, but we know that it's a momentary discipline. Just like parents say, I didn't want to have to do that, and truly it hurt me more than it hurt you, but I love you too much to let you go without discipline. Now it's over. Give me a hug. I've disciplined you because you are my child. Now give me a hug and give me a kiss. It's done. You've never lost my favor because I am a good father. May we parents be the same way to our children because he's that way to us. David is singing about this. And what is the context? It's an interesting context. We don't have a lot of details of why, but the context is the title of the psalm, the original Hebrew. It has it there. Look at the title. A psalm and song at the dedication of the house of David. You can read about this with a little bit more detail. 2 Samuel chapter 5, verses 11 to 12. 1 Chronicles 14, verses 1 and 2. David has his house dedicated. His own personal palace is established, and he's dedicating it. He's got a formal acknowledgement of it. But this is his cause to praise God and to think about how his favor is the cause of my life. In his favor is life. He is recognizing that the building, the establishment of his palace, his own house, is that God is with him. God is establishing his kingdom. And again, remember, he's the type of Christ. God is giving him favor. He doesn't deserve to be king. Remember, that's where we also see his favor for David. Remember, Samuel came to see with Jesse all of these different sons, and none of them were going to be good enough, though they would have seemed by human account to be the ones that should be chosen. But do you have any other sons? Oh, it's my young son, the shepherd boy out in the field. Go get him. And God anoints him because he says the Lord doesn't look on outward things. He looks on the heart. And he chooses him. He has favor on David and makes him the king. The one that no one would have chosen, God chooses. And so David has his favor. Now that he is king and his palace is established, he's recognizing, wow, do you notice the difference between him and Nebuchadnezzar with Babylon? What does Nebuchadnezzar do? He's walking around his incredible kingdom and looking around and starting to say how glorious he is and giving himself all the glory. There were Hebrew kings that did the same thing and suffered for it. And so he was made to go eat like an animal for a while. David is not doing that. David is looking at his palace and he gives glory and thanks to God. He recognizes it is only because God has given this to me. It's only because of God's favor that I have this palace to live in, that I have this life as a king to live, that I have the privilege of serving God's people, being the type of Christ. Through my own loins, he will come. He recognizes all of this, and he chooses to praise God. He doesn't for one minute want to give glory to himself. He, in this great time of his life, wants to give all the glory to God, recognizing he has no business being here. And this is amazing, and it's God's favor. He praises God. He sees that the establishment of his palace is a sign that God has brought him through many battles and many challenges and yet has established his kingdom and secured it in Christ. And so he's praising God for having this favor, which has delivered him through so many adversities. We know that God's favor has delivered him from so many enemies. But in particular, we just look at these general ideas of all the things God has delivered him from to get to this point. And so he realizes, I could have been dead so many times. Saul alone tried to kill me twice. And it's just because of God's favor that I'm here to live and tell about it. Let's look at the context a little bit. Let's look at some of the verses. Verses 1 to 3 to begin with. Just notice how he's saying, in his favor is life. And notice how he's recognizing it's God has spared his life and given him favor that he has this life to live. I will extol thee, O Lord, for thou hast lifted me up and has not made my foes to rejoice over me. Oh, there were many of them. You protected me from the destruction of my foes to get to this point where my kingdom is established. O Lord, my God, I cried unto thee and thou hast healed me. We'll look at that more this evening. I cried unto you, and you have healed me. You've helped me. You've been my helper. When I've called out to you, you have not been deaf to my cry. I needed healing, and you gave it. O Lord, thou hast brought up my soul from the grave. Thou hast kept me alive, that I should not go down to the pit. You've preserved my life. Verse 8 and 9. What profit is there in my blood? When I go down to the pit, shall the dust praise thee? Shall it declare thy truth? Hear, O Lord, and have mercy upon me. Lord, be thou my helper. Oh, excuse me. I meant to start with verse 8. Verses 8 and 9. I cried to thee, O Lord, and unto the Lord I made supplication. What profit is there in my blood when I go down to the pit? Shall the dust praise thee? Shall it declare thy truth? Once again, I cried out to you and you didn't let me die, that I could praise you. That's why I'm here right now, to praise you. Not to praise myself, to praise you because of your favor that has given me life and given me this life. Verse 11, thou hast turned for me my mourning into dancing. Thou hast put off my sackcloth and girded me with gladness. There was a time where I was crying out in pain and sorrow, and now look at me. There was a time where I was in sackcloth and ashes, and now look at me. I'm a king, and I have this glorious kingdom in the train of Christ. So indeed, It has been God's favor that granted David his life. It's God's favor as the source of David's life and this life. And it's God's favor that sustains his life to this moment and beyond. Verse 3 needs to be also our refrain. Thou hast kept me alive. We need to look at all the difficulties that we're going through, all the things, all the attacks, all the problems, and recognize, thou hast kept me alive. Not only just that he's kept us alive and given us a life to live, but that he's kept us from falling away from him. That he protects us from apostasy. That he protects us from heresy. He has kept us alive. The perseverance of the saints is because of the preservation of the Lord. Thou hast kept me alive, in thy favor is life. As well, it is God's favor that lets us live well. Verse 7, the first part. Lord, by thy favor, thou hast made my mountain to stand strong. It's by your favor that I live, and it's by your favor that I can live an abundant life. It's God's favor that will cause us to live out our chief end as well, and eternal life, which is where this is all heading, in the kingdom of the Son of David. Verse 12, to the end that my glory may sing praise to thee and not be silent, O Lord my God, I will give thanks unto thee forever. He has this sense and understanding that I will be praising you in heaven forever. In the kingdom of he who will sit on my throne that you've promised me, such as in other Psalms. I will be praising you forever. Because of your favor, I will have everlasting life. I will be praising you forever around your throne because you have established your kingdom. You have established your high mountain. You have established your eternal palace, and I get to be in it. In thy favor is life, so I will praise you. Notice he says, therefore, that's what I'm going to do. Here's the end of it all. I'm going to glorify God. I'm going to enjoy God because of what he has done for me, because how he again and again delivers my life from the grave, from mine enemies, from my sorrows and my sufferings and my difficulties. I will praise you. And so much of our praise in heaven will be how God has delivered us from the pit of hell. The pit of despair and destruction and everlasting darkness. As Psalm 16:11 says, thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. And that psalm, you know, is written by David as a prophet about Jesus the Messiah and his resurrection, as Peter tells us in Acts chapter 2, where he says David knew he was writing about Christ, that he was a prophet, talking about the resurrection. So he rejoices in the glory of the resurrection and eternal life that he knows he has through Christ. Now, verse 5, our text today, is given as a reason to do verse 4. So, beloved, may you consider that God's anger lasts but a moment at night. Your weeping lasts but a moment at night. There is joy in the morning, new mercies every morning because of his great faithfulness. This is all given to you as a reason to do verse 4. Verse 5 starts with 4. Therefore, we should do verse 4. Sing unto the Lord, O ye saints of his, and give thanks at the remembering of his holiness. Sing unto the Lord, give thanks for his holiness, because he should destroy you. Instead, he doesn't. And he lets you live, and he gives you a good life in Christ. May that verse 4 be your song today, beloved, as may Psalm 63, verse 3 that you sang together. Because thy loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise thee. Beloved, whatever is going on in your lives, whatever you're doing, whatever would hold us back by Satan's desire and influence to praise him, you need only come to worship him simply because of his life his love, his favor. And we should want to come and praise him and thank him for that. And that he continues to deliver us. He continues to give us life by his favor and love. Habakkuk 2, verse 4, quoted or alluded to in many places in the New Testament, such as Romans 1, verse 17 and elsewhere, says this, "The just shall live by faith, not by works." We need God's favor. We don't deserve his acceptance of us. He should reject us. And he only accepts and blesses and receives those who are in Christ. And only those of us who are in Christ is because of his grace. The just shall live by faith, or more literally in the word order, at least in Romans, by faith the just shall live. And in his favor is life. You see, faith is a gift from God, remember. Faith is a gift from God that justifies you and grants you eternal life with God. Faith is a gracious favor, a gift from God that grants you abundant life while you are here, waiting to be completely delivered at the last great day, where you stand before God in Christ and you are allowed to enter into his eternal day in the new heavens and the new earth. And you will say, as you consider your past, in his favor is life. Thou hast kept me alive. By thy favor, thou hast made me to stand strong. Beloved, you can trust that your life will last, and you can have resolve over your nights. You can have resolve over your days, whatever anger and weeping may be experienced, but for a moment. As you look back and you look forward, with these words, in his favor is life. In thy favor is life. Because you are born again in the Lord Jesus Christ, whose kingdom was secured on the cross through his death, you have God's favor on you and his life. God smiles on you, beloved. God smiles on you with his salvation. May you feel it each and every moment. Beloved, may you feel it right now. God smiles on you. Hear that in the benediction from the book of Numbers. God smiles on you with his favor, his undeserved grace, his friendship by sovereign choice, his. God smiles on you. It doesn't mean he won't discipline you. He won't be displeased. It doesn't mean he won't let you weep at night, but it's for a moment and joy comes in the morning. Why? Because in his favor is life. You have life in Christ. He's a good father. He will discipline you, but he will never disown you. Not because you deserve it, but because he's a good parent and he loves you. In his favor is life. He's given you life in Christ. He never takes that life away. He never takes that relationship away. May you feel it right now. May you feel it right now. May you hear it right now in this moment. God gives you his favor. God is favorable towards you in Christ. He smiles on you. He shines on you. As the sun's warmth and light brings the earth's life, so God's goodwill to you has come on you to this earth and is bearing the Spirit's fruit. Like David, you can trust that you see God's signs of favor in delivering you through all of your difficulties. You don't need to look at your difficulties and your problems and your self-inflicted problems and think that God doesn't favor you. You can see rather that he continues to deliver you as signs that he has favor and you have life in him through his favor, because he continues to deliver you when he should allow you to die and destroy yourself. In his favor is life. Can that not be something we say every time we get up in the morning? God has given me a new day. Let me live it abundantly. Let me live it better, because in his favor is life. Joy has come in the morning. New mercies in the morning. You can look at all your difficulties and know that God is working all things for your good because of his favor toward you in Christ. Because you have the Son of David, the Son of God, God never takes his favor from you. God never takes his favor from you. Like Mary, you are blessed to have received, as it were, Jesus Christ sent to you by God. Christian, come what may, be blessed to behold that your whole life is in God's favor. And that is the message for you this morning. Your whole life is in God's favor. For in his favor to you, you have life. Let us pray. Almighty God in heaven, giver of life, sustainer of life, we do thank you that even your anger towards us that causes us to weep at night is momentary and gone in the morning. For great is thy faithfulness and your new mercies that come with it every day. Because of your grace, your mercy, your unmerited favor upon us. Because you have chosen us as you chose David to be your servants, we whom no one else would choose, but you choose. O Lord, we pray that you would bless us to sense your smile upon us, to sense your favor at this moment, and to live each moment, each step of the way, smiling because of the smile of you upon us in Christ. We acknowledge we don't deserve this, that is the point. Like David, we consider the context of how we have our houses, and perhaps we didn't even think to dedicate the house and to give glory to you. We are in danger of giving glory to ourselves, as you warned the saints in Deuteronomy. Be careful that as you go in and get the promised land, and you go and have all of these beautiful and wonderful things, don't forget I gave it to you. So, Lord, we acknowledge now that you are the Father of heavenly lights, the giver of all good things. All that we have is a gift from you, including the very breath we've just had, the life we still enjoy, and the eternal life that is ours now in the kingdom of heaven, and that will be consummated and perfected on the last great day at your return. O Lord Jesus, you are the bread of life. You are the way, the truth, and the life. You are the resurrection. You are the one who has given to us in you the favor of God. You have made we who were enemies of God, the children of God, showing us we have the love of the Father. May we wonder over it indeed as David does. May we just stop and recognize that where we are right now and all that we have is your favor. All that we have is life you've given to us. And may we recognize as with David to be thankful for it and to praise you for it and to make the most of these gifts you have given to us and not to waste them. We do thank you, Lord God, for you, for life and eternal life is to know you and your Son whom you have sent. Thank you for reconciling us to you. Thank you for your favorable disposition to us that you call us sons and daughters. Thank you that you do not treat us as our sins deserve, but you have chosen us for grace and glory. And Lord, as we prepare to give you glory forevermore for the eternal life we have because of your favor, so now we give you glory and we praise you, O Lord, for the gift of faith and the blessing that we are in your presence on the path of life, and we will be in your presence and enjoy the fullness of it and your pleasures forevermore. Lord, one day in our resurrected bodies, but even now we can enjoy in the Spirit. Let us return the favor, as it were, not that you are unworthy, but because you are so worthy. May we have goodwill toward you. May we have pleasure in you. May we delight in you and to do your will. May we walk in newness of life that you've given to us in Christ. Every step of the way, rejoicing and marveling what you get us through. In thy favor is life. We pray in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, thankful for this gracious life we have in him. And all your people said, Amen.